Our next case for argument is 21-1381, Aspen Consulting versus the Secretary of the Army. How do I pronounce your name, counsel? How do I pronounce your name?
Chronic.
Chronic?
Chronic U.
Chronic U. Mr. Chronic U, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. The entirety of this dispute relates to the interpretation of two sentences in FAR 52-232-33. That clause is titled Contractors EFT Information. Specifically, those two sentences are, the government shall make payment to the contractor using the EFT information contained in the Central Contractor Registration Database. In the event the EFT information changes, the contractor shall be responsible for providing the updated information in the CCR database. In appellant's view, this language is unambiguous and requires the government to make payment to the contractor's EFT information contained in the CCR database and nowhere else. The board disagreed with this straightforward interpretation and instead found that the contractor could change its EFT information before updating that EFT information in the CCR database.
If we agree with you, what happens in this case?
Your Honor, I believe we were on entitlement at the board stage, so I believe we would proceed to the quantum stage. As to the damages, damages here are very straightforward. It's a corresponding amount as to the Aspen's two invoices, so we would establish that Aspen's two invoices were not paid as we have, and the amount of those invoices.
Well, how could it be that there wouldn't be a deduction for amounts that were paid out of this account to your client's benefit?
I couldn't hear the first part, Your Honor. I'm sorry.
How could it be that if you're right, that the quantum wouldn't have to take account of the fact that payments may have been made from this account to your client's benefit?
Well, Your Honor, you're hitting on a factual dispute. And to be very clear about that, we disagree that those payments were ever, that any payments in that account were used for our client's benefit.
Fine, I understand that. But assuming, hypothetically, that they were for your client's benefit, how can you contend that the government wouldn't get a credit against the quantum for those amounts?
Well, I suppose at that stage, at the quantum stage, Your Honor, the government could raise that. They could again try to raise
those. And you agree that they should get a credit if the amounts were paid out for your benefit?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's more nuanced than that. The amounts that were – so we have to start off from a
– Okay, let me give you a hypothetical.
Of course.
Suppose they paid it into the wrong account, but that the $100 million was paid out of that account directly to your client. And that was the sole amount that was involved, was the $100 million. How could you recover anything under those circumstances?
Okay, so just so I understand Your Honor's hypothetical, the amount was paid to an account that the client owned outside the CCR
it
database?
It was paid to the wrong account. The money was paid to the wrong account. Same facts here.
Okay.
But that the amount was $100 million, and the $100 million was paid out of that incorrect account to your client.
Well, that's a very different situation.
No,
than what
I understand.
We have.
That's what hypotheticals do.
Understood, okay? Your Honor. I think in that case, you'd have a threshold problem, honestly. You'd have a threshold problem in that the contractor couldn't submit a certified claim for that amount because there'd be no basis to do that.
Are you agreeing then that in that hypothetical, you wouldn't be able to recover anything?
If the contractor in your hypothetical, which again is not what occurred here, received the benefit of every one of those dollars. If it transferred the $100 million to one account to another account that the contractor owed, of course we would take that position that they're not entitled to a double payment. The government's repeatedly
used... Okay, so change the hypothetical and the amounts paid out to the account are for your benefit in the sense that it satisfies a debt that you owe and would otherwise have to pay. surely under those circumstances, too, the government should get a credit, right?
Well, again, Your Honor, here, that's...
Wait. I know that's not exactly this case.
Sure.
But assume that that's the situation. Shouldn't there be a credit against the amount owed?
Well, that's certainly not true what occurred under Bianchi, the board's reasoning in Bianchi. Bianchi's identical...
That's not binding on us, and I'm not sure that Bianchi is the same as my hypothetical anyway, but just answer my question. Under those circumstances, do you agree that the government should get a credit for the amounts paid to satisfy your creditor?
If we're disregarding Bianchi, and Your Honor, to the extent that the government can again show that the contractor received the benefit here, I think what we're doing is turning everything on its head.
Finish the sentence. If the government can show that you received the benefit, then they should get a credit, right?
To the extent that they prove their affirmative defense as payment, yes, Your Honor. So payment is an affirmative defense that the government sought at every turn in this case. They've sought to turn that on its head, right? Because they're not able to easily establish to defend the liability stage, and they don't want to use it.
So if we remand here, there has to be a determination as to whether amounts were paid out of that account to the benefit of your client.
Well, Your Honor, we would disagree that a remand is even necessary. That issue was fully briefed before the board.
Answer my question. Do you agree that there should be a remand here for computation of the amount due? Do you agree there should be a remand? And that if in that remand the government can show that amounts were paid to benefit you, the government should get a credit for that?
I think what Your Honor is talking about is moving on to the quantum stage. And that's what we 100% agree should happen here. So in that quantum stage at the board, the government could raise that as an issue. The government could raise that, and the board could decide.
Right. And if they prove that you got a benefit from it, they should get a credit from that, right?
If they're able to establish that as their affirmative defense, Your Honor. And again, that's they wouldn't be able to do that in this case because Aspen didn't get the benefit from it. And one thing that's been forgotten in this the entire time, just to level set, is that the account that the money was transferred into, there was existing funds. So obviously we dispute that the account was within Aspen's custody and control, but one thing that's disregarded this entire time is there's existing funds in those accounts. So when the money's transferred in, the money that comes out, money's inherently fungible. We can all agree with that. It's probably like water, one of the most fungible things you could have. So the dollars that come out wouldn't come out dollar for dollar as to what was the government had just paid. There would be money.
Is it your client's position that the money that was in that CZ account already was Aspen's money?
Is it? No, Your Honor. We're taking just the opposite position, right? That Aspen, before this, didn't have control of that because Mr. French, as we have cites in the record, Mr. French himself testifies that he kept all the money in the account. Mr. French testifies that he made unauthorized loans to that account. Mr. French testifies that the contractors that are paid, and this is a very important point here, and again, it's factual. It's not anything that's really been briefed very well, and it's not anything where the board rested its opinion on.
It sounds like your argument is that Mr. French stole your money.
And it was facilitated.
Is that correct?
I think that's a fair assessment, Your Honor.
Have you pursued criminal and or legal challenges against Mr. French directly for this theft?
Well,
if somebody stole my money, I'd probably sue him.
Your Honor, that burden here falls on the government directly on the clause. If we look at the FAR 52-232-33, there's a direct mechanism for when the government fails to transfer to the right account. The government has the obligation to chase the money. That they didn't follow the express instructions in the contract. And here, at the end of the day, this is just a question of contract. It's a question that the government had an obligation to pay to the CCR account in SAM, to pay to the account designated in CCR, which later became SAM. And when it failed to do that, what it did is open it up, the contractor up to this potential, as Your Honor says, theft. And so to the extent that the money was not paid correctly, the government can go after him. The government can do that. And that's...
Counsel, has the CZ account been used to pay Aspen's obligations in the past?
Prior to the transfer of the funds?
The two disputes.
It was open without Aspen's knowledge, but it was used after that to pay both Aspen and B. French Consulting contractors. And that's one point I think I didn't make clear a moment ago, is that B. French Consulting is undisputedly a separate entity. It's not related to Aspen Consulting. B. French Consulting had contractual relationships with vendors. B. French Consulting was contractually liable for those payments, not Aspen Consulting. At that point, and again, this is not anything that's been briefed significantly, but at that point, B. French Consulting and specifically Mr. French had already misappropriated significant funds from that account. So as a result, what happened is the account balance was artificially lower than it otherwise would be, and Mr. French then used the government's misdirected payments here to satisfy the obligations that B. French Consulting owed, not Aspen. So when we get to the benefit that Aspen purportedly received, it's not one that Aspen purportedly received at all. It's one that B. French...
We can't resolve that. I'm sorry. At this point, it's a factual issue.
Your Honor, I 100% agree. One of the main points that I wanted to make today is that these are all factual questions. And this court, as Your Honors are well aware, is not a trier of fact. The board had a full obligation to reach these issues. It didn't do it. What it did, in our view, is it misinterpreted the clause and sidestepped all of these issues. So in our view, we ought to proceed on to the quantum stage. And at that stage, the reason why this hasn't been fully addressed is because we weren't at that quantum stage. If we're at the quantum stage, all of these issues can be addressed. We can put on additional evidence as to B. French Consulting being contractually responsible for those payments.
You're using up your rebuttal time. Do you want to continue or do you want to save it?
I'll save the rest for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honor. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Niosi, am I saying your name right?
Yes, Your Honor, you did.
That'd be great.
May I remove my mask?
Yes.
Thank you. May it please the court. The court should affirm the board's decision that the Corps did not breach its contract with Aspen. The Corps met its payment obligation by paying these invoices to the account as directed by Aspen's Senior Vice President and Chief Operating Officer. And in any event, Aspen has not demonstrated any harm. Your Honors, I do wish to take a moment to point out that there is an error in our brief on page 31. I apologize that I didn't discover this until late last night. We stated at page 31 of our brief that bar 52.232-33B was revised in 2003 to require contractors to register with the CCR. That requirement was actually imposed on contractors in FAR 4.1102. And that is reflected in the Federal Register notice that we cite at page 31 of our brief. Again, I apologize for any confusion, and we will file a Rule 28J letter later today to clarify that. Turning to the merits, what Aspen seeks is a double recovery by asking this court to convert its authorized representative's request to the payment.
You say Aspen seeks a double recovery, but inherent in that is that they actually got the money that was put in the wrong account, and there were no fact findings made to that extent, and we can't do that on appeal. So how can you say they're seeking a double recovery? How am I supposed to know they actually got the money?
Your Honor, as far as I'm aware, there was no bifurcation of entitlement and quantum. This was Aspen's burden before the board to demonstrate its harm.
Yes, but it was hotly disputed below was the issue of whether they benefited or received payouts of that money that was put in the CZ account. They certainly didn't stipulate that they were the beneficiaries of all of that money. The government argued that they were, but they didn't stipulate to that, and that's a fact question. They clearly disputed.
Your Honor, at the board, Aspen took the position that it was not required to demonstrate that it received any benefit from these payments, relying on
which
the
it's
Yonke
not.
Case.
It's the government's burden. It's an affirmative defense of payment, so it isn't their burden to prove. It's your burden to prove.
Your Honor, one of the elements of a breach of contract claim is, of course, to demonstrate that they've been harmed. And essentially, Aspen took the position that it didn't need to show that it wasn't harmed or that it was harmed, that it didn't need to show that it received any benefit because it relied on the Bianchi case, which was non-binding and really runs against the...
I understood Aspen to take the position that they didn't receive these payments and therefore they were harmed. And I understood the government to come back and say, yes, you did, because things were paid out of that account to your benefit. which it feels to me like is a fight over damages and the question of payment, in particular the affirmative defense of payment, or the affirmative defense of payment, or alternatively a fight over damages. Like, for example, suppose Mr. French kept $100,000 of that money for his own benefit, and only the remainder of it was paid out to Aspen's own debts. Then this would be a question of damages, right? How much of the money that was paid into the wrong account, again, assuming it's the wrong account, how much of the money that was paid into the wrong account did Aspen receive the benefit of? You know, because we don't, obviously no one here is going to give them a windfall of double payment.
Your Honor, at the board, Aspen's position was that the agency, that the Corps breached the contract by not paying to that specific account, the account that was listed in the CCR. Aspen did not take the position that if that money had been paid to the Commerce Bank account and had benefited Aspen, that that meant that there was no breach. Aspen was taking a very hard line view as to the materiality.
They now seem to agree that that was wrong, and that if it was paid out for your benefit, there should be a credit. And I don't understand why you're entitled to anything more than that, because this money was paid in the wrong account. And if indeed Mr. French had apparent authority, he might have had apparent authority to change the account, but he didn't have apparent authority to require, to ask the government to pay the money into a different account which wasn't registered, right?
He did not have, according to the record, he did not have authority to change the account in the CCR. But from the government,
was never changed.
And it was not changed.
So what difference does it make whether he had apparent authority to change it or not? It wasn't changed.
But he did give direction to the agency, which the agency, from the agency's perspective, understood that to be a legitimate authorized request to change the account.
No, it was an authorized request to pay to some other place other than the registered account.
I see you're right, Your Honor. Yes, he asked not to change the information in the CCR, to have it directed to an account that was in CCR, but he asked to have the payments made to a different account, one that was opened in Aspen's name, with Aspen's knowledge. Aspen's certified claim indicates at appendix page 262 that it was aware that this account had been opened, and Aspen routinely sanctioned and used that account to its benefit throughout the course of its dealings with Mr. French. It gave Mr. French the essentially the authority to make disbursements from that account on its behalf.
So if this were a different case and the government had refused to make the payment into the other account, then the government would have been breaching the contract by refusing to adhere to the strict terms?
The government would not have been breaching the contract by adhering to those strict terms. I think the question here is whether the change in the account was a material term of the contract, and it was not, so long as Aspen gets paid. And Aspen makes the argument that in its brief essentially acknowledges that payment is a material term, but there's nothing to indicate that payment to a particular account is the material term. For example, Your Honor asked earlier, if this money had been deposited to an account that is not in CCR, but that the Aspen had full access to, certainly Aspen could not come in here and claim breach of contract because it was not paid to the specific account. And that's what I understood Aspen to be arguing all along, was that it was a strict liability, which of course is a tort concept, but that the material term here was that the account was the actual account that got that gets the money, not just that Aspen gets paid. And to the extent that there is a question of harm, again, that is an element of the plaintiff's burden to come forward and show that they've been harmed. And I am not aware that there was any bifurcation at the board between quantum and entitlement. And so this, or entitlement and quantum. So this would really just be a failure of proof on Aspen's part to demonstrate that it was harmed.
Just have a question. Do you agree that there was noncompliance, but that it's not material noncompliance? Is that what your argument is in sum?
Yes, Your Honor, that to the extent that the court disagrees with the board's finding, because the board found that the agency, the court, did comply with the FAR provision, to the extent the court disagrees with that, then we would argue that, or our position is that any noncompliance is a technical noncompliance and it's not material, because what is material is that Aspen got paid that Aspen got paid and not the particular account. If there are no further questions, then we respectfully...
Yes, one more question for you.
Yes.
Do you believe whether or not Mr. French had apparent authority is relevant to the affirmative defense of payment?
It is relevant because from the government's perspective, they were dealing with a authorized representative, the only person they'd really dealt with on the contract from its inception. Mr. French was signing and certifying other invoices. He had signed contract modifications and delay cost proposals. And so from the government's perspective, it is receiving a valid request to direct the payments to a different account. And the board found that was a reasonable belief that Aspen created, the reasonable belief that Aspen was asking for its EFT information to be changed, or at least to have the contract payments be deposited into different accounts, a different account.
Just out of curiosity, would you mind looking at appendix page 60 with me?
I'm sorry?
Would you mind looking at appendix page 60? Am I right? Is this the contracting officer's decision? What is this that I'm looking at on page 60? It looks like the contracting officer's initial decision.
That is right. It's the contracting officer's decision on the certified claim.
Right. And while it talks about, what does it mean in that middle paragraph? While Mr. Ben French had apparent authority at the time he directed invoices on contract to be paid to Aspen Consulting's Commerce Bank account, the fact remains that whether the payments were made properly or erroneously, they were made to Aspen Consulting and they were used to satisfy Aspen Consulting debts and obligations. So I guess opposing counsel says we would need to vacate and remand for a fact finding about whether or not they had actually benefited from those payments. Is this such a fact finding that's already been made? And if so, what do we do in this case?
Assume
I think you got it wrong, right? Assume that you paid it to the wrong account. So now what? Do we send it back for them to figure out whether, for the Court of Federal Claims to assess whether Aspen reaped the benefit of those payments nonetheless, such that there are no damages? Or has that fact-finding already been rendered?
The contracting officer would have done an investigation, and leading up to her final decision. And so the fact that she lays out in her decision, starting at appendix page 46, would be, as I understand it, those are the facts that she is setting forth and that lead her to conclude that the money was used to satisfy Aspen's debts.
But the contracting officer's findings are not binding on the Court of Federal Claims, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to suggest the contracting officer's factual
findings. Did the Court of Federal Claims make any similar finding? I'm wondering what we send it back for.
Your Honor, this was actually at the board, the Armed Services Board of Contract Appeals.
Thank you for correcting me, please.
Regardless, it arguably could be sent back to the board to determine if Aspen was harmed and or received a benefit. Or I think the board might say that we already had essentially a trial. That's what the briefs below were a paper trial. And you didn't present any evidence that you've been harmed, and therefore you are not entitled to any breach of contract damages. I think those are the two potential outcomes if the court were to remand.
Okay. Thank you.
And so we respectfully request that the court affirm.
Your Honor, just to be clear procedurally, the claim certainly was at the ASPCA. It was divided up between liability and quantum. That's fairly commonplace that the contractors have that election rarely do they elect to do it at the same time. And quantum obviously being the damage portion of this. The evidence we put forward in this case as to our damages is, you know, self-evident. We put forward the deposition testimony of the Toppers saying they didn't get the payment. The government's admission that the money was paid to the wrong account. There's no shortage of evidence indicating Aspen alleging it didn't get the payments. As to this issue about whether the government has an offset, and if so, what that offset would be, that's something that would be raised on a quantum. As an affirmative defense in the quantum aspect of the claim. To address Judge Moore's question about the contracting officer's final decision, as the court well knows, that's just the gateway to the board, right? Under the CDA, you have to have the contracting officer's final decision in order to proceed. Aspen disagreed with that decision. Aspen at no point got a chance to present affirmative evidence in that case, and there was nobody hearing. There was no way of the trial trier of fact there. That's just the contracting officer denying the claim. Here, the board heard, I think the most important point I would take from this is that, of course, this is well briefed at the lower stage. The issue of whether Aspen received a benefit was highly contested. And the board could have said, we think they got a benefit. And they didn't. They didn't here. In all likelihood, because they're saying it's not at that stage yet. And also, we're going to sidestep this by interpreting the contract to say there was no breach of contract. So what my government colleague is really arguing here is that they want the court to overturn the breach of contract finding, which is the determination of whether a breach of contract occurred is typically a mixed question of law and fact. The question of law being the interpretation of the contract, which the court is well aware we disagree with, and the mixed question of fact about whether that was material or not, about whether in interpreting the contract, was it material, that breach. And so even in arguing this immateriality argument, what they're arguing is to overturn a factual finding, which is not something you do at the Court of Appeals. We cited, I believe it's nuclear research in our brief.
What factual finding?
I'm sorry?
What factual finding?
As to whether the breach was material.
Oh, okay.
As to whether the breach is material, and then related to that would be obviously the government's affirmative defense of payment. The affirmative defense of payment is something that the government has sought to wiggle out from under this entire time. It's like I said, it's turned it on its head at every stage possible to try to put that burden back on Aspen here. And initially that was because they couldn't show that they hadn't breached the agreement. And now it's, you know, in an effort to push back more to show that then Aspen got some sort of benefit here. But certainly in appellant's view, at this stage, we've shown uncontradicted evidence that Aspen didn't get the payment, and also evidence from the Toppers, albeit disputed evidence, that they didn't receive the benefit of this. Kent Topper's deposition testimony was
spoken. Okay, but you're not asking us to reverse outright and order this money to be paid to you. You're asking us to reverse and remand so that the question of quantum, whether your client benefited from the payments, can be determined, right?
Exactly, Your Honor. We're asking this court to say that the board's interpretation of the contract was wrong, and that as a result, as the government breached the agreement, now there's a question of damages. The question of damages and quantum, one and the same. And that's something the board would have the opportunity to hear factual evidence on at that stage. And that's the exact relief we're seeking from this court. Unless there's anything further.
Okay, thank you, counsel. This case is taken under submission.